This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We trust the program will encourage and bless you. Now, if you would like to contact me again, you can do so by regular mail. You can do so through my website, and I'll give you those two addresses at the close of the program. Remember, the website has a weekly meditation on it, and you can re-listen to this program on the website. There are tracks, questions and answers, and other information there that you might find helpful. So if you're interested in those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you could write them down at the close of the program. We're going to continue looking at the miracles of the Lord Jesus this morning, and this morning we're going to look at the 14th and the 15th one in the sequence, assuming that these are in the right chronological order. Now again, one of the reasons we're looking at the miracles is because they prove to us that Jesus is the very Son of God. But every miracle, while it happened literally, also has teaching for us, allegorical teaching, and most of that allegorical teaching has to do with the way of salvation. And so as we begin to look at these miracles, we want you to have complete confidence in the Lord, and we want you to have complete confidence in the Bible, which is the Word of God, and ultimately the word of the Lord himself. And so let's look at the miracle as recorded in Luke chapter 8, but we have to look at two of them together, the healing of a 12-year-old girl and the healing of a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. They seem to occur at the same time. The woman with the issue of blood is healed first, and then Jairus' daughter who was 12 years old had died, and she was raised from the dead. So reading from Luke chapter 8 verse 40, we read, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue." In other words, he was a Jewish leader. "And he had, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house." That's interesting that he was a leader, but he wasn't too proud to ask for help from a man who others were criticizing. "For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him." Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." But when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now recognize that this woman was unclean as far as the Old Testament was concerned with that issue of blood. And she probably should have been in isolation. So when she came and admitted that she needed help, she was basically putting herself in jeopardy because of the Old Testament law. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And so she was healed. And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." Now in Mark and in Luke, it makes it appear that the daughter died after Jairus came to the Lord. But in Matthew, it says she was already dead when he came to the Lord. So these statements really don't prove that there's a difference between the accounts. It proves that she was dead and that she needed, there was no need for the Lord to come, because obviously the Lord who could heal was not a Lord who could raise from the dead. And you see, that's really the important point of this miracle, is that God, the God of creation, is often sold short when it comes to what he can do. And of course, there were people who saw that he had healed a woman, but they didn't, that had the issue of blood, and I take it they took our word for the fact that she was healed and the Lord's word for it, but nevertheless, they didn't believe that there was any hope for the little girl who was dead. And this is often our relationship with the Lord. We see him do one thing that is miraculous, but we don't expect the next miracle. The children of Israel never expected the next miracle in the Old Testament. And so when they were thirsty, the Lord gave them water, but they didn't expect him to give them manna when they were hungry. And so it seems as though we are often a people who see miracles, but we don't expect the Lord to provide the next miracle for us. And so they said that she was dead, and I suspect that she had been dead before Jairus came, but these servants are just coming and reinforcing the fact that there's really no need to send for the Lord. This girl is dead. So she was like Lazarus in Luke chapter 11. She was dead. She had been dead long enough and with enough witnesses so that it isn't a question of the Lord bringing somebody out of a coma. They were all convinced that she was dead. So she says, do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well. Now this is his faith that is brought into question at this time. It's his faith that's going to make the difference in this girl's life. The girl is dead. She has no ability to have faith. And so when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. And all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but is sleeping. And then we find out in Matthew chapter 9, after he had raised her from the dead, that they were told not to tell anyone, but the report of this went into all the land. And I like to look at this as a picture of what God does when he saves. We know that sometimes the problem of sin affects us for a good many years before we come to the right physician for the need that we have. And this issue of the woman being afflicted 12 years with this issue of blood and the girl being 12 years old and dying, there seems to be a reason for drawing our attention to those two things, but yet very few people have really given me help on why Mark and Luke and Matthew have drawn our attention to those two people and the number 12. And I'm going to make a suggestion that cannot be proven, but it makes sense to me. I believe that the woman who was there when this crowd was thronging the Lord was a woman who likely had given birth to the girl who had now died. And I suspect she had had the issue of blood since the time the girl had been born. And likely she was Jairus' wife. Now, we're not given that information in the story, but nevertheless, it does seem to make sense that this woman had this issue of blood ever since the girl had been born. And likely the girl then had been born in traumatic circumstances of some nature and may not have been a very healthy girl from the time she was born. And so I believe we're seeing a mother and her daughter both being healed at the same time. When I look at this, I realize that the Lord considered the girl to be a saved person. He says she is not dead, but is sleeping. Now, it was true she was dead as far as we are concerned. But in the Bible, when somebody is sleeping, usually that term is associated with a believer who has died. And so the Bible makes it clear that death is not the end and that death is really a pleasant experience, not the process of death, but after death, that's a pleasant experience, much like sleeping is a pleasurable experience. And so when we look at the girl, she was likely either someone who had trusted in the Lord early in life, or she was not accountable for her sins. And when it comes to the Jewish tradition, 12 seems to be the age of accountability under their social understanding of the age of a child and when a child comes of age. But nevertheless, I believe this child was one who probably was covered by the blood because she was innocent, not because she had actually been saved, but because she was innocent. And the age of accountability would be different for different children. It may very well be that this girl had heard about the Lord, and even through the Old Testament teaching that she had gotten from her father in the synagogue, had come to a saving faith in Jehovah and ultimately in the Lord Jesus. It appears that her father, Jairus, had confidence in the Lord, and he had to believe the Lord in order for this girl to be healed. And what he was really believing was that Jesus was the Old Testament Jehovah, and that you could depend on what he said. So there's a lot of issues associated with this whole series of events that lead to the healing of the woman and of the daughter. But as I look at the woman, the thing I notice is that she only needed to touch the hem or the border of the Lord's garment. Many people were touching the Lord. He was being jostled in the streets, and many people were touching the Lord. And so when we see words like touch or look in the Bible, we have to understand that they can be used in a natural sense, and they can be used in a spiritual sense. And in this case, when this woman touched the Lord, it was a touch of faith. She maybe didn't understand a whole lot, but she understood that there was power in this person to save and to heal, and she wanted to be healed. And friend, today there's power in the Lord to save us. But we need to know that we have a problem. In her case, it was an issue of blood, and we have a problem, and it's called sin, and it besets us in different ways, but we need to have the Lord reach out and touch us. But actually, in this case, the Lord didn't reach out and touch her as he did many of the people who were blind and were lame. She reached out and touched the Lord. And friend, whenever you make contact with the Lord by faith and take him at his word, he's good for his promises, and the look of faith will always forgive sins, just as in this case it healed her of the problem of that flow of blood. And so the healing process here is a picture of the saving process for us. And friend, I hope you have touched the Lord. You may not have made a great contact. You may not know much, but if you know that Christ died for your sins and you've touched the Lord, you will have your sins forgiven. You will be spiritually healed. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless this lesson, and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.